What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Welcome back, Redheads, to another episode of the Redheads Book Club August edition, coming to you a little late. Sorry about that. I'm going to take the hit for that because that was all me.
Okay. I needed it.
I said on the toast when I said we were moving back the Redheads, I was like, you know, it's so hard scheduling conflict for four girls. But the truth is, it was just me. Like, we had a schedule and I conflicted it.
100%.
For a very good
fine reason,
though. And yeah. Also, none of us had started the book by the time you moved it, which was beautiful.
Mad at conflicts when I've started the book.
Can I speak?
Sorry. Yeah. Oh my gosh, you keep talking over.
It must be so long since we did a podcast because rule number one is wait your turn.
And it's like you're staring directly at me like you know that I'm speaking.
Yeah, you're right. I just get off on logistics. I'm sorry.
It's okay. But what I was going to say is sometimes we do a very last minute change when like we've already read the book, i.e. Louise.
Oh my God. And we had to wait and wait and wait.
When like you're sitting on that knowledge and like just chomping at the bit to discuss.
Yes.
But that was not the case at all.
No, that one we were on our way here. The crane fell.
But yeah, the street was closed. I was thinking about that.
I forgot what you guys were talking about.
The street was closed, so we actually couldn't record. So we had to push it back and it was a whole dilemma. But now we're here ready for the August episode of the Redheads. This has been probably about 6 weeks since we all saw each other now. And I missed you, ladies. I really did.
Wow. Feels like just yesterday.
Does it?
Yes.
What was the last book we read? Nature of Fragile Things. No, that does feel like
that
six
feels
weeks
a long
ago.
Time
it feels
ago.
Like 6 weeks ago.
I couldn't tell you what that book was about.
You liked it.
San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
You liked it.
I did like it. I remember that. I can't
we
say the same about this book.
All liked it.
Okay. Let's get into this book because everyone is already starting to talk shit.
So. Well, you know, it's been a little bit of a long time since we've had a book that we don't like. That some don't
speak
like.
Speak for yourself,
that
snitch.
Some don't like.
Speak for yourself.
I feel
yourself.
Like we've been pretty, you know, peaceful here, and now I'm about to fuck shit up.
Oh, God. Okay. Before you do that, we read Clara and the Sun by Kazuo Ishiguro. It is a book set sometime in the future, probably. To me, it reminded me of an episode of Black Mirror, just where there's all this new technology that we're unfamiliar with, but that you can pretty much understand from the jump. We are hearing the story from the viewpoint of Clara, who is a girl AF. AF stands for artificial friend. Clara starts her journey in a store where eventually she is found and I guess bought by Josie, who is going to be her companion teenager, who Clara will be the artificial friend to. She goes to live with Josie. Josie, it is clear, is sick. It's not clear why she's sick or what's wrong with her. Everyone's trying to figure that out, Clara included. Clara becomes a big part of Josie's life. Her mom does a weird fucking thing where she like gets a bust made of her, life-size Josie, and then eventually they want to put Clara in her, which was really a low point for me. And then at the end of the day, Josie is cured. Clara grows old with her, moves to the junkyard, sorts through her memories for the rest of her life. How'd I do?
Perfect.
I think you did a great job. After that write-up, you're about to defend this book.
Well, here's what I'll go first, since you're coming for me, about how I feel, overall thoughts on the book. When I started reading this book, I really liked it. I liked Clara's tone. I liked the picture it was painting of AFs. I liked Clara's, you know, perceptiveness, her observations. I liked that she was going to be living with Josie and there was all this like exciting stuff happening. So I would say at 40%, that was the first time I like put it down after I picked it up. I was like, wow, I really like this book. I'm excited to see what's going to happen. I feel like it's going to be sad. I feel like Josie's going to die. What's Clara as an AF without her teenager? I was like, this is going to blow my mind. My problem with the book is that Mr. Ishiguro did not land the plane. I liked everything about the book except how it ended. Like there was, and I thought the ending was not good. Yeah, I really didn't. I thought there was going to be so much more. I thought we were going to finally understand this weird world that they live in that's kind of like Hunger Games-y, and we would understand how everyone like came to be and what it really meant to be lifted. We found out afterwards it meant like genetically modified. You're a GMO. But
I didn't even realize that.
They called it age. It was literally one line. They called it age, and it stood for artificial genetic editing. But yeah. It was very easy to miss.
Yeah, they, I saw they that. Said it twice. First, they said genetic editing, and then they said AGE. And so that's the difference between Rick and Josie, of Josie's mom, and Josie chose for her to get.
And between
close
readers.
And she got sick, right, because of it?
And so did the other daughter? That they got sick because of the genetic editing. Yes. And so it's like, was it worth it?
And so did Saul. Sal?
Sal, yes, exactly.
Not so simple of a book anymore, Snitch.
No, 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 it's literally so simple.
So anyways, I liked where it was, it had the makings of a really good book, but then the end sort of fell apart for me as opposed to building up to something great. That's where I stand.
Okay. Interesting take. I went into this book thinking it was going to be kind of like an Orson Welles 1984 dystopian, right, or like... what was that book? Oh, Ender's Game. So I was like, okay, like this is about to be like totally the world flipped upside down. Then it was like, this is just the world, but like a few tweaks are off. Like they still had divorce. They still had like separation. But then all of a sudden they're talking about like the dad being let go from his job and like maybe in a fascist cult. And like, I was like, is this part of the dystopia, or like, did he just get fired? Like it was such a blurred line between, right, whether or not this was just like the United States of America, right, but also where were they in New York City? Like, who knows?
I think they were in the US. I didn't get New York City vibes, but then they would talk about California or like Minnesota. So I was like, okay, I think they're in the US.
But then I thought it was interesting because they talked about Rick being from England. So I was like, okay, like they're orienting themselves in the world
in
that we know,
times,
but we don't know where they are. So it just felt like it was 90% like our world and then 10% weird inconsistencies and futuristic-esque situations that they did not properly expand on. So I was like just confused. And for that reason, I'm like, this is not well done. I was so freaking confused. And like, I'm fairly intellectual, I would say. Like, I can piece stuff together. But I was like, can someone tell me what lifted is? Can someone tell me why she's sick? Can someone tell me like why, like this sun connection? And like, is anybody gonna like let Clara know that like she can't talk to the sun? Like,
or could
or
she?
Or maybe she could, you know?
Also, like, was the guy whose barn it was, like, I thought he was going to come out at some point. Like, there's just so many things.
When everything was happening in front of that theater and it was, like, so confusing, I was like,
that was
like,
probably the worst part for me.
I loved that.
I had a migraine while I was reading it, and I was like,
it's getting worse.
I feel like my brain juice is leaking from my brain, like Clara's.
No, but it didn't achieve the desired result. Like, it was supposed to reflect her internal turmoil by how she was viewing the outside world, and, like, that's how she was experiencing it. Like, so jumbled, so frenetic, so chaotic. Like, that was why I thought it was a great scene.
Got it. Well, since the haters have had a chance to speak their mind, I would like to hear from Dana, who probably...
I actually didn't get a chance to speak my mind.
Well, you've been speaking a lot, Sanchar.
Okay.
No, because I was a person who liked it, and then we heard from a person who didn't. I want to hear from another person who liked it, and the person who chose this book, Dana.
Okay, I seriously loved this book. I'm not even saying that to be contrarian or because I chose it and I feel the need to defend it. Like, I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was so profound. I thought it touched upon, like, really intensely human condition themes, which is ironic given that it was about like an artificial friend, and I felt like it couldn't have been more human, like mortality, love, loss. I do agree with you, Rit, that it was very confusing. Like, I kept waiting for something big to happen and big to be explained, and it kind of never landed. But I think that's just like his genre, his writing. Like, you kind of just have to lean in and accept that, like, it is 90% reality and it is 10% like dystopian, futuristic, weird. And like, once you kind of accept that, you're not going to understand everything about it and just kind of go with the flow. Like, I think it's easier to digest. And there were moments where things did click and when things didn't. So like, when you figure out that an oblong is like an iPad or an iPhone, like, you put that together. You figure out, like, lifted has something to do with being educated and genetically modified, like, that, right, you put together.
Or, but, like, even, like, the way she would see things, like,
yeah, the boxes.
In boxes. I was like, the AFs go into each box every night. But no, it's like her vision is in, like, a graph.
Yeah, exactly. So those were, like, things that I think you're just supposed to put together as you continue reading with context clues. But then there's other big themes that you're just, like, waiting for the aha moment that never comes. So I did feel that level of frustration for sure. In general, though, like, I found myself thinking about this book for so long after I would put it down. I would find the themes just, like, extremely poignant and effective, and I don't know, I really liked it.
I really liked it, too. I don't know if I'm thinking about some of the questions longer than when I was reading the book, but I really miss Clara. Like, I really, and this is what I was going to come here and say today, like, I really identified with Clara and this book because, to me, it was a book about counselors and campers.
And so I'm technically the counselor.
But the thing is, it's unclear between Clara and Josie who is the counselor and who is the camper. And I would argue that at times what they were switching roles, because Josie had a lot to learn from Clara. Like, she's artificial intelligence. She's programmed to know everything. But Clara had a lot to learn from Josie. So I just really, I loved Clara's POV. I really did. I liked hearing from her perspective.
She was such a sympathetic character. Like, your heart really...
And she was just so... Like, for someone who doesn't have, I guess, emotions or a heart, like, she was so good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No, Clara was great. It was just, like, the weaving of the story,
It was like every page you turn was a different weird thing. And you were like, I'm just supposed to, like, go along with this? Like, yeah. All right.
No, okay. Like, all my notes are like, what the fuck?
Well... I will ask you in a bit to highlight some of those highlights and let us know what was the most confusing, because maybe someone else understood that part. But Snitch, you've been sitting there waiting to say your piece.
No,
What did you think of the book?
I'm not going to go in that hard. Like, maybe I'm too dumb to understand the brilliance, to quote Dana. Brilliant. This book was brilliant. The brilliance behind this book. But, like, I'm sorry. I did not. The second I put the book down, I forgot about it. I did not think about it again. Like, in the beginning, I was like, I texted Jackie. I was like, I just want to make sure I'm reading the right book, like AF. And she was like, yeah. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, not my genre, but also, like, it felt like it was a book for actually children. Like, it literally could have been a children's book that you read to Michaela every night. Like, I was just not interested. So many things just did not add up. Like, the whole sun thing, like, came out of nowhere. And also, like, I didn't know where we were. I couldn't even, like, imagine anything in the book. Like, just thinking about what these people looked like, did Clara look like a robot or did she look like a human? Does anybody know?
I think both. At first I thought she was like a little pod, but then I
like
realized
an Amazon
she's
Echo?
Probably the size of a person, and she has arms and legs, and it's clear that she's a robot, but she's human-sized.
And they described her as looking like a cute French girl, so I think there's definitely, like, a human element to her.
Yeah, but they can definitely also tell that they're AFs because, like, yeah. people, like, look
no,
at her.
Yeah, there was no confusion. Yeah.
She was able to go on Rick's back.
Right, but she also couldn't really get through the field in the same way that, you know, Josie might have been able to. Right. So she definitely had limitations. Okay, let's get into the DBQs, because I do think that some of these questions from the book's reader's guide, thank you very much, will help us understand what the questions we're supposed to be asking ourselves. Okay. Fair?
Fair.
Fair.
Sure.
First up, the setting of Clara and the Sun is sometime in the future when artificial intelligence has become more integrated into human society. Which elements of the novel felt familiar to you at the time of reading, which felt hard to imagine, and which were easy to imagine as a possibility for your lifetime? So I would say a lot of it felt easy to imagine. It really, to me, felt like Black Mirror. And mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have seen the Ashley O episode, the Miley Cyrus one.
No.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much she's a pop star and everybody loves her. So they make all these AI versions of her that, like, you take home and Ashley O is your friend. Huh. And that's really the vibe I was getting at first. Of course, it goes haywire. But I feel like pretty much everything about this book will probably be achieved at some point in the future, except for, like, the weird stuff about, like, the government and the jobs and the weirdness. I don't know, but I don't know what that was. So maybe that will be achieved in the future. I just couldn't
explain what
it is. I
don't think Lifted will be achieved.
I don't know. If you could, in the future, like, get genetically enhanced with a couple of booster shots, I think there will be people who choose to do that and people who don't.
Oh my God, that's so interesting.
Yeah, I didn't really feel like I was reading about a universe that was so incomprehensible. Mm-hmm. As you said, right, like, there was divorce, there was colleges, there was hangouts. Like, they were branded differently, like interaction hangouts or whatever.
Oh my God, I could not figure out what that was. It was just people hanging out like a soiree.
Okay, so here's what it is. So basically in this world, correct me if I'm wrong, in this world, they all do remote learning. Not that hard to think about. They all learn at home with their tutors on their oblongs. They don't go to school. They get the best professors at home and they go to school. Eventually, all those kids go to college where they have not really been around other kids up until that point. So college is really hard for them. So they have these interactions before in the years before college where they get all these kids together for them to practice being around other kids, because that's how fucking weird they are.
That's exactly how I read it.
And that, to me, doesn't seem far off.
Yeah, I mean, especially
now. I mean, we're on our way.
We're on our way. Yep. The campers are doing remote learning.
During that interaction, when, like, Danny and that freak out and, like, his mom interjecting, I was like, what is happening here? Like, why was this necessary?
The,
like,
kids are not all right.
No, nothing was all right.
And then the mom was like, no, come on, we're supposed to let them work it out themselves.
Yeah, because,
like,
they need to learn developmental skills.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's like they have,
that
all,
made sense.
They have all these other skills and all this knowledge, but what they don't have are interpersonal skills because they do everything so siloed.
Yes.
So to me, everything felt possible. The only thing that I can't really get behind is artificial emotional intelligence. And I was reading a review and it's like, we have AI and, like, a lot of the things, the mechanics of what this could be, but the idea that Clara is, like, almost so human.
Yeah.
Maybe one day we'll get there, but I don't think we're close.
Have you ever seen the movie?
Because Alexa fucking sucks.
Yeah.
And if you want to compare this to, like, an Alexa or an Echo, like, they're so dumb. Like, you can ask what's 2 + 2, but that's about it, you know, or play this, but, like, it's not like, Alexa, what do you think about the metaphysical state of the world?
That is...
The Google Home's a little more advanced.
I'll check it out.
No, I agree with you. That was, like, well beyond, I think, any realm of possibility in our lifetime, at least, her emotional capacity.
Mm-hmm.
But that was just for the book.
And Paul highlighted that. He was like, let's, like, talk about the heart. Like, can that be learned? Can that be mimicked? Can you become something, like, that deeply embedded into, like, the emotional psyche?
But even without a heart, I still think Clara was, like, emotionally way an impossibility.
Yeah.
But also, that's just
because she could feel sadness and she could feel empathy, you know, like, and that was also far-fetched for me to wrap my head around, too.
Like, I don't think Alexa is empathetic at all.
No.
And she is harsh, that
one. She's hardcore.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Next up, Clara is prized for her observational qualities as an artificial friend. How do the tone and style of her first-person narration help to convey the degree of her attention to detail?
Well, I mean, she kept talking about her attention to detail, about how, like, Rosa, like, wouldn't, like, pay attention to anything, like, outside, whereas, like, Clara kept saying that she was, like, noticing people walking, or, like, everything that she noticed was an attention to detail. Everything that she said was a detail that she paid attention to.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just really feel like this is a personal attack on AC when you come for Clara and everything about her. Like, it's an attack on the bunk.
No, no, sorry. No. I know, and I feel your glare. I do. But I'm just saying, like, it's not that fucking hard to realize that she was paying close attention to detail.
I loved how she referred to everybody else in the third person, how she was like, Josie thinks this, like,
hated
the mother, because it reminded me, like, oh, this is a robot, because it's so easy to mistake her as a human when she's speaking in the first person on her own and having all these astute observations, that it kind of, like, really put you back in your place of, like, oh, this really is not a human.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But then why did she call Rick's mom Miss Helen and not Rick's mother?
Conventions.
I think she called everyone by their name except for the people who she, quote, belongs to.
Yeah, the mother, the father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Melania, no, housekeeper. Like, why couldn't she call him?
Why couldn't she call her Melania? But she called Josie.
The housekeeper was epic. She was so funny.
I was really upset that she left.
Me too. Me too. And, like, that was just.
It's like,
I didn't think she was epic at all.
She's like, quit following me. You're creeping me out.
She was annoying in the beginning, but then, like, when she was Team Josie, we're same team.
Yeah.
I was like, and I'm Team Josie.
Yeah, for sure.
We're same
team. I appreciated the loyalty. I just, like, I felt like there was always going to be something more. Like, we were going to uncover something so wild when they went into the city on their day out,
of
and
course.
Like, what they discovered was not wild, and it was
okay,
just
no.
Or like
what
when the oil came out of her head, like, I thought there would be an explosion,
and like, I thought, like, what we were waiting, like, her big health breakthrough was gonna be some life-saving new technology, or like a fleet of new AFs were gonna land and take over, like, and maybe I'm just so Ender's Game about this, like, I really, like, had high hopes, but, like, nope, we're good, just gonna truck along in our
no, you're right,
field.
The things felt unfinished in a lot of ways. Like, it did feel a lot of times I was waiting for a big aha moment that didn't come.
Okay, does the term artificial friend resonate at all with you now as a contemporary reader in the age of social media and the internet? What's the difference in the level of interaction between children and their artificial versus their real human friends?
You know who the OG AF was? Smarter Child.
Totally.
Tamagotchi.
Yeah, I was about to say Tamagotchi.
Yeah,
but
I guess
our phones,
like,
are AFs.
No, but if you spend so much time talking to someone online, not a lot in person, like, that's pretty much an artificial friend.
No, but it is actually a human, though. at the end of the day.
And, like, they can connect emotionally in a way that an AF, I think, still lacks.
I'd rather have an AF. Like, I'm, when they hit the shelves, I'm getting one. Like, and I hope her name is Clara.
But you're not going to get a B3, right?
No, because they don't have the capacity for empathy like Clara does.
But they can smell.
They can smell. So can I. So I'll sniff it out for them. Okay, we have a lot of questions to get through, so I'm going to just plow through. The details of Josie's illness are kept vague. Based on what we learned from the conversations among Helen, Chrissy, Paul, and Rick about the choices parents make for their children in this world, how might that have affected Josie's condition? So I think the underlying point was that Josie is ill because of the decision that was made to have her be lifted.
That's how I took it. Because of the genetic editing that they imposed upon her in order for her to get ahead in life, go to college, etc., it fucked with her, like, health.
And that was even after doing the same thing to Sal, who then died because of
it
as well.
But they did say Sal died of a different sickness, which made me think maybe it wasn't the
genetic
editing.
No, but I feel like I remember, I mean, I could be wrong. I feel like I do remember them saying it was because of the lifting.
Right. I feel like she might have had a different illness from the lifting, and they probably wouldn't want to say we lost both of our girls to this thing. So they were like, no, it's different.
Wait, also, huge hole in the story. What was the doll? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the doll from Mr. Capaldi that
they tried to make one of Sal, but it was so rudimentary because they didn't have the advanced technology.
Oh, right.
But they said that, like, they saw Sal, like, running.
Because it looked like Sal, because it was, like...
Right, like, it was just, like, a limp doll. Like, how does a limp doll run?
Well, because it was an AF.
It was not an AF.
It was just a doll. Maybe it was thrown or something. Like, she didn't know what she saw. She just saw something that looked like Sal, which it was.
Got it. All right.
But yeah, like another...
That was easy to miss, too, if you weren't reading closely of how it tied back to the story.
Yeah. What shadow does the loss of Sal cast on the family and over the novel as a whole?
Well, I think that's why a mother is trying to make a AF version of Josie because she can't handle losing another child. Mm-hmm. But, and then I think it also brings in the whole conversation of lifting because she, I believe, did lose Sal to lifting and all of that drama.
Yeah, mm-hmm. When the housekeeper warned AF to watch out for Josie in the portrait, she was like, why is the mom even letting her do this? And she's like, because the mom went fucking crazy after Sal died. Like,
yeah.
I think it was wholly motivated by attempting to not lose her second daughter.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Before Clara goes home with Josie, Clara and the other AFs have a rapport with one another, much like a bunk, especially with Rosa. What do these conversations, thoughts, and feelings suggest about the sophistication of the AI technology in the novel or about the unknown depths of the AF's consciousness? Well, the fact that they can make all of these different AFs and they're also different from one another, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It really felt like you were hearing about real people having lives together and not machines in a store.
Yeah.
Yeah, it felt like regular people.
Just like campers on a shelf.
Working at the store. Not even on... Were they on a shelf? No. Oh my God, were they on a fucking
And manager
shelf?
Was counselor.
Yeah.
No.
They got moved
because
around.
Because then when she like stepped out to see... When Josie and mother came in and she was like at the in the corner, she like stepped out.
They moved her from the front window to other parts of the store.
Yeah, I know that, but I'm saying she said she moved. Like she moves her head to see if that was Josie. Remember?
Yeah.
Are you saying
like
that they were on a shelf?
There like a mannequin.
Yeah, but like she can walk if she wants. That's my thought. I didn't think she was on a shelf.
No, yeah, they reference how they like took little steps forward and little steps back. I think they could walk, but they were demanded not to. Like their order was to stay.
Oh my God, that's rough.
Store.
I can't stand for that long.
Yeah, but they're robots, literally. Okay, let's talk about the sun because Clara's connection to the sun, what does it suggest about the nature of her inner world? Is her understanding of its power based mostly on what it seems to be the plain facts of her existence, that she is powered by solar energy, or something deeper? So this is probably like the biggest theme in the book, the sun. In the beginning, I was like, Clara looks to the sun how most humans look to God.
Yes.
You know, like... responsible, makes a world around, like the way that she's like fueled by the sun, like a lot of people are fueled by their faith. The sun gave her hope. Religion gives a lot of people hope and like belief in a higher power. But then it started to just get a little too literal for me.
Yeah.
And I mean, clearly she gets revved up from the sun, so she might think that Josie would too. But then in the end, it seemed like everything she did worked, and that like when she went and spoke to the sun, that like maybe the sun had spoken back to her and we just didn't hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And that maybe Clara wasn't like a fucking crazy robot after all.
I mean, she obviously wasn't. The sun did save Josie.
Or was that just a coincidence?
No. It was a coincidence.
Wait, what? What?
Heated debate.
It's your interpretation of what happened.
So what do you think happened? She just woke up from her nap and she was fine?
Yeah.
Oh, actually. And yeah. You think, like, the sun coming in?
No, I think it was a coincidence. Like, you think that, like, Clara thought she found, like, the sun's entry and exit point. Really, she was just, like, looking out at the horizon and, like...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So she was just, like, going to where she thought this entry and exit was, spoke, and, like, felt like that... That's going to save her.
Someone say she's manifesting.
I'm not saying she wasn't manifesting, but, like, I don't think that, like, it was such a scientific correlation. I think it was a coincidence.
Oh, wow.
I think it goes back to a really important theme that we talk about a lot in our Redheads books, which is hope. Mm. And how hope is both the most dangerous thing and the most beautiful thing in life. And, like, if you don't have hope, then that you don't have anything. And, like... I interpreted it maybe from a hopeful perspective that the sun was actually healing her because of Clara's wishes. But yeah, there's no science behind that. It's just like you have to believe.
Yeah. So you think that Clara knew what she was doing? She wasn't just crazy AF.
Yeah. Literally.
I don't think Clara herself was convinced that what she was doing would work. I don't think she went about it being like, this is definitely the answer, the solution. Like, she didn't even know if the sun could do it, but she put, you know, she made a sacrifice.
It felt like the Cootings exercise. She was definitely like, this is going to work. And then it didn't. So I was like.
But like, maybe on it, it worked on a technical level. Like, say the Cootings machine was putting out so much pollution that it was affecting like the sun's ability to reach the earth.
I know, but then there was a new bigger Cootings
machine. Okay, but say there's 5 Cootings machines and she took out one. She took out a fifth of the Cootings. She got more sun rays to Josie.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just magical realism. It's like, do you believe that this is what happened or do you take a more pragmatic approach and think it's a coincidence? Like, I think that's just what's up for interpretation.
Interesting.
What do you think, Jax?
By the end of the book, I thought that Clara had spoken with the sun. The sun let her know what to do, and she really had a level of intelligence that the rest of us don't have. Throughout the book, I was like, this AF just doesn't know how the world works. This is very sad for this AF, how she could be so smart and so fucking dumb.
Yes, that's exactly the point.
Then which could still be the case.
At the end, when she's like sort of recounting what the sun said back to her, I'm like, well, she doesn't make shit up.
And I totally felt
her. She has actually a pretty good memory.
I totally felt her when she was like, I still can't tell you because I don't want to jinx it. Like, I don't want it to undo it. Like, I feel that way. Like, no, like, I can't
get that too.
Oh, that I understand. Yeah. That's just like being crazy. But yeah.
Yeah. Like, superstitious. Yeah,
like, don't tell anyone your birthday wish. But like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, Rick and Josie carry on a quiet but intimate relationship through their drawings. What is unusual about their friendship and their plan for their future, given the social hierarchy for children based on their class and economic privilege?
I just, like, had some problems with their relationship.
Oh,
because
really?
It really seemed like Rosie was, like, forcing Rick to like her.
Josie. Okay.
And she was like, so fucking mean to him. And so, like, I feel like they had been friends for so long, and they made this deal, and they just... kind of force themselves to like love each other, like each other, like just want to end up with each other. And I'm just so glad that they both grew up and like realized that like they were not meant to be together because like they simply just like were not. I really thought that Clara and Rick were going to run away together.
Oh, that would have been cute. Yeah, if Clara had like another life after Josie no longer needed her.
I liked their relationship. I mean, it was juvenile. They were so young. But, like, I thought the picture thing actually had a lot of depth behind it.
Me
like,
too.
Just a way to communicate without actually having to communicate, but still being very, like, profound in it.
And in tune with each other.
Yeah. Like, I liked it. And she was mean to him, but that's kind of, like, what girls going through puberty do. Like, they torture guys that they like by being like, do you like me, this, that, and the other thing.
No, but, like, she was saying crazy shit about her mom.
About his mom.
Yeah, to get a rise out of him, to, like, get his attention.
I thought they had a really sweet relationship. I kind of wanted them to end up together. I'm like, wait, we made it this far. Like, you guys were by each other's side for, like, through thick and thin.
Yeah.
So it was another thing that kind of irritated me about, like, the finishing touches of this book was, I was like, oh, like, we're just, and it wasn't even, like, a profound discussion about them not being together long term. It was just like, and they lost touch and went their separate directions and that's that. And I was like, wait. What? They had a plan.
But that's really what happens to most people who are like childhood sweethearts, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like there usually is like one big breakup.
But also, we got a happy ending with Josie's health. I don't think they were giving us anything else.
It's interesting, too, because if she had died, then the whole thing would have been like Rick lost the love of his life. He would have lived the rest of his life thinking that his one true love was gone. It's like, no, actually, if she stayed alive, like you still wouldn't be in touch today.
Yeah. Right. Okay, discuss the dinner scene at the diner with Helen, Rick, and Vance. How are these concerns about a child's ability to succeed and the measures that people will take to alter those outcomes similar and different from what happens in society now? Were those efforts to win Vance's favor fruitful in the end? What might Rick have been able to do to advance society's dependence on technology had his drone development and other engineering been supported? So I'm pretty sure by the end, like, Vance did not throw in for Rick, and Rick,
I don't think Rick even applied.
Yeah, yeah, I think he gave him the chance.
His drone technology was advanced despite him not going to Alice Brookings.
Right. Yeah. And I guess, like, you know, that conversation probably is the most similar to what happens in today's day and age with, like, you know, people using connections to get into college.
Varsity Blues.
But it's like, compared to what the other kids are doing by getting genetically edited, it's like you're playing checkers, they're playing chess.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
That was, like, the most upsetting scene for me.
Yeah.
It was deeply dark and disturbing.
And like, he was, like, really bothering me.
Putting this child through, witnessing this back and forth with this, like, immature, horrifying man. And, like, his mom who's groveling. Like, I wanted to remove myself
from the situation.
It was like, I'd like to be removed from this narrative ASAP.
Yeah. But Clara, I thought that was an interesting moment where they were like, Clara, do you think that he's going to help Rick? And like Clara's intelligence was like, yes, I think.
I think so, too. I think that if I really, really think that if he had applied, Vance would have helped.
But I don't think, like, Rick didn't want it that way from this disgusting man.
Maybe she was so perceptive about hope and was like, I think this is what these people need right now. Like, I need to plant the seed of hope to make sure that, like, Helen stays on her own 2 feet and, like, doesn't off herself seeing this conversation unfold the way it did. So that was my takeaway. It was like,
yeah,
that's a good point.
Scene.
That was very sad.
What was your opinion on the plan to turn Clara into an avatar of Josie? Who would have benefited most from Josie being able to live on in another form? Would you have made the same choice for your child or a loved one in the same situation? Okay, to me, that was the only moment where I was, like, really shook. And I was like, okay, we're getting big things from this book. Like, I couldn't conceive of that when they were having this portrait done. But then it was so freaking obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked how all the questions that it brought up about, like, you know, life and death, really, and like what makes a human, and if it could be replicated by a robot one day. I personally am not Team Capaldi. Like, I think there is something innately special about humans that no robot could. But I think Clara also summed that up really brilliantly at the end, where she said, it's not that there's something special in the human themselves, there's something special in everyone else in the way that they feel towards that human.
Best line of the book.
That was probably one of my favorite themes and just, like, general big questions the book posed. And I really liked that that's where it took us. But I'm glad, ultimately, that it did not happen, because, like, nothing could be creepier. But then also, the fact that Clara was an AF and not, you know, didn't have these, like, human pulls to be, like, that is an evil idea. Like, to just replace a child. She was like, okay, I'll do it. Like, you ask me to do something, I do it.
Yes. Yeah. If anything, it highlighted how she really was not human, because you forget.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so she's still so good, but she's not ever, like,
human.
She can't differentiate, like, good from evil, but, like, it's just interesting.
And I liked how the dad's reaction was so morose, but he then explained it as, like, I actually kind of agree with this dude that we might not be so unique and special as we think, and it could work. Like, that's why I'm so freaked out.
Yeah.
I love when Clara was speaking to the manager when she was, like, in that junkyard and was like, and manager, they wanted me to replace Josie, but I didn't end up replacing Josie. And the manager was like, okay, Clara.
Yeah, Clara, your screws are loose.
How much fluid did you lose?
Too hard.
Yeah, Clara, how much juice did you lose?
I loved manager so much. And the fact that she, like, went to the junkyard to, like, go and find some of her old AFs, like, that was just really sweet. Yeah. I wanted that. Those were, like, the moments within the book where I was just like, I need more.
Yeah, no that's agreed. Sweet. At first, I wasn't sure if, like, the manager AF relationship was, like, really like dicey and like not cool, like if like she was mistreating the AFs or if she had their backs. And quickly I realized that she had the back, but like sometimes she was like nasty to her AFs.
I'm sure it could be hard like running a bunk full of robots. She manager was the counselor.
Yeah, truly.
Oh gee.
Okay, Clara and Paul share a moment of concern and consideration regarding her ability to learn Josie's heart, which he describes as, quote, rooms within rooms within rooms. No matter how long you wandered through those rooms, wouldn't there always be others you'd not yet entered? What do you make of Clara's response about the finitude of such metaphorical rooms? Would you say, in your own experience, you've been able to explore and learn all the rooms of your own heart or another person's?
I liked how Clara was like, okay, but eventually I'll find all the rooms.
Like, pushback. Yeah.
Even if the limit is infinity, like, I am programmed to understand infinity.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah,
but
that
I
was
do
awesome.
Think it's funny because it's like, even if someone like studied me to a teen, and it would, I guess it'd have to be like a robot, like, I feel like if you posed a situation to them and then said, like, what would Jackie choose? Like, I still don't feel like someone could choose. I feel like sometimes shit's erratic, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, for sure.
I think the overall theme of, like, could you really know someone's heart inside out is no.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely not.
Could you know someone's heart inside out, Snitch?
I feel like you're always learning more.
Yeah.
There's always more to learn.
There's always more to learn. Thank you for that.
You're always learning more and there's always more to learn.
Do you know my
heart in and out? No, I'm always learning more about your heart.
Me too.
It's always growing and expanding.
For sure.
Okay, next question. Would you describe the relationship between Clara and Josie as love? Where did you notice what seemed like genuine love to you in the novel?
So Ooh. Many moments between Josie and Clara were love. I feel like every single interaction was an example of love.
I know, but you know what's funny now that I'm thinking about it? I feel like Clara loved, if anything, there was more love from Clara to Josie.
Oh,
than there was from Josie to Clara. Because
like, I agree with that.
Josie really enjoyed Clara and was pretty good to her as far as AFs go, because I think we've heard, you know, some sad, like, they alluded to some sad situations of, like, living in the cupboard, which eventually she did. But, like,
utility.
Yeah, why did she all of a sudden? Like,
because she was no longer needed. Like, Josie was growing up, and so she was just, like, living out her days in the cupboard like an old toy.
Like, the slow fade, which, like, I also didn't think was properly
and Josie, I think, like, Josie, like, get Clara a room, like, let her chill with you, like, this is like your little sister at this point. If it's love, like, you don't put something that you love in the closet forever, like, if that you love in a real way. And just like Clara, what she felt for Josie was unconditional love.
I agree.
She would have done anything for that camper.
There were really kind moments, though, when Josie would, like, ensure every single night, no matter what, even if she had extra time with her mom, that Clara saw the sunset. Like, she was inevitably upset when Clara went to the waterfalls, but, like, the whole reason she pretended she was well enough to go is because she really wanted Clara to be able
you
to
think?
See it.
I think it was a little selfish on Josie's part. I think Josie wanted to go.
Yeah, me too. She didn't pretend she wasn't sick because of Clara.
I think Clara had a lot to do with it.
No.
I think she really wanted Clara to see it.
Or maybe she wanted to show Clara it, but just, like, for herself still. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, because then she was pissed when Clara came back.
Right.
Yeah, and, like, their dynamic shifted, like, mm-hmm. for almost the rest of their
yeah.
relationship.
Until she delivered the letter to Rick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
She did give her that little step stool to get a view in her utility closet.
A better view from the closet.
Yeah.
That ain't right.
She was like, Clara, right. come to my room if you have time. It's like, I think she has time.
But what made me not sad was the fact that, like, Clara clearly doesn't get bored. Like, she has all of her data to process through, and she's busy processing data.
She's a data processor.
Literally, she's a computer. What did you make of Clara's personification of the sun, particularly in her final plea to save Josie? She observes in the layers of glass that, quote, in fact, there existed a different version of the sun's face on each of the glass surfaces. Although his face on the outermost glass was forbidding and aloof, and the one immediately behind it, if anything, was even more unfriendly, the two beyond that were softer and kinder. Have you ever experienced nature and other non-human entities in a similar way? Okay, so this question is like the type of shit where the book lost me.
I completely agree.
That quote in particular is like a moment where my eyes glazed
Same.
Over.
Same. I didn't read it and think it was deep or interesting. I was like skimming that part.
Yeah.
I totally
They
agree.
Just glazed over again. Like, I was just waiting for it to be over.
Yep.
Like, her understanding shadows. Like, I'm good, girl.
Yep.
And maybe there's a deeper meaning there. If you know it, please comment on our Instagram or on the
out.
Facebook. But you know what? I have a lot that I'm like living with and sitting with after reading this book. Like, I don't need to add some of this crapola.
Agreed.
Thank you.
Agreed.
What did you think of the place where Clara is sent after Josie is finished with her? What does this bring up about the moral and ethical considerations of integrating more AI into a society? Did her fate bring to mind that of any people you know? Which is a really spooky question. It makes me think of, like, nursing homes.
Yeah, that's sad.
You know what I didn't like? When Josie left for college, she so flippantly was like, I guess you might not be here when I get back. Like, bye. It's like, wait, what? Like,
yeah. I totally agree. It's like, wait, where do you think I'm going to be, bitch?
Yeah, like, if that's your plan.
Do you have bigger plans for me? But also, like, as readers, we obviously weren't clued into the slow fade because nothing in this book was explained.
Right. Yeah. Like, we were just supposed to be able to pick up on
it. I thought this book was going to be sad because I thought Josie was going to die and Clara was going to be an AF with no teenager.
And she was or just going to have the mother to, like, weirdly entertain.
Right, or eventually Clara would, you know,
spark
and combust, and Josie would have to live without her AF. But the fact that, like, these AFs come in for a season and not a whole reason, like, it was really sad. I was glad that Clara clearly is, like, woman enough on her own to, like, live in her days out in the junkyard, not needing to be surrounded by other AFs. Because clearly the other AFs, like, need more companionship.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem like Clara was sad about it. She was, like, happy to just spend her days sorting through her memories. But I just think she deserved better. Because she was an exemplary AF.
Agreed. But something is a little nice about just kind of a flat ending. I know we were disappointed with it, but it's kind of like, all right, now it's the end of the life. Like, there's not some big, like, she died, he died.
Yeah, it's not like Clara's unplugged, we're putting her down today.
It's kind of just like, oh, and that's how, like, real life goes. Like, you kind of just die in a graveyard. Like,
yeah. So does it bring to mind the fate of any people you know?
Ashley O.
Ashley O. Like, and any other people you've brought to a junkyard to live out their days.
So many.
No, wait. I guess the only thing is, like, a nursing home where you're just sort of...
Yeah, that's where you go for your last leg.
Yeah.
To wither away.
Yeah, which is sad to think about.
But let's keep asking the question.
Yeah, no, I just wanted you guys to be just as upset as me about it. All of you.
You know, let's really hammer this message.
Okay, last DBQ. It's a big question. Who, in the end, seems more human to you? The people in the novel or the AFs?
I thought the line was blurred.
Like, technically, the humans are human, but because they are so reliant on technology, it makes them a little inhumane, I think. Mm-hmm. And to me, Clara was just like, I'm sorry, she's like the protagonist.
She's a star.
She's the protagonist of my dreams. Like, I love her.
Clara had more humanity at points, like when she was hearing about the plan, or even when Josie's like, I won't let anything bad happen to you. My mom wants to get rid of you and she wants to quit her job. Like, I won't let that happen. And Clara's like, I mean, if that's the best thing for you, like, I'm okay doing that, which is really the definition of selflessness. Whereas the mom is like, I have an idea. Like, we're going to go to the falls and you're going to walk like Josie for me so I can test
that was out. Fucking weird.
That's inhumane.
And, like, Capaldi was on some other shit.
Yeah. Like in those Capaldi examples, Clara was the human.
In one of those closets.
Yeah, like, putting together this quiz of how well we know Josie. Like, that's some, like, Dr. Evil shit.
Yeah.
And Clara was a real one. What I'll say is that it's clear that Clara was an exceptional AF, so I can't say that all the AFs were more human than the humans, but
right.
Clara was.
Yes, Clara
that's fair.
Was. Manager remembered her after all those years.
True.
Yeah.
And poor Rosa.
We're same team. Okay, now it is time for the redhead questions. You guys submitted some great questions, but before we get into them, I need to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Bookfinity. Summer may be coming to an end, but there's still time to finish your summer reading goals. Bookfinity helps you keep track of all your reading lists in one convenient location. If you haven't heard about Bookfinity, it's the newest experience built for readers like us. Get book recommendations you'll love by taking the fun, pop culture-inspired quiz to discover your reader type. I think one of the hardest things about being a book lover is finding the next book that you're going to love, and sometimes I get into, like, such a rut where I don't know what to read next, and that is when you turn to Bookfinity, they tell you a reader type. We all found out our reader types, and they were just so apt. I personally am the time traveler, Bookfinity told me, which I am.
You are. You literally are.
Literally am. Becky is the heroine with an E, addict, because she loves a strong female character.
Love.
Dana is the trendsetter because she's always choosing the coolest, most thought-provoking books. And I think Clara, I mean, you guys probably disagree, but...
But it provoked your thoughts.
It provoked...
Negatively or not.
I agree.
This book sucks.
So once you complete the quiz, you'll be taken to your My Bookfinity personalized account. This is where you can see the book recommendations you've liked, organize your book lists, and see the books you've reviewed, and refer friends to earn rewards. Visit Bookfinity.com today to create your own personal My Bookfinity account today. Again, you can create custom book lists to keep track of what you're reading and want to read. You can make quick and easy reviews and book recommendations based on your reader type. If you are an emphatic reader like us, Bookfinity is the resource for you. Redhead questions. First up. Throughout the book, Clara believes in the power of the sun and its ability to sustain life and create miracles, perhaps blindly relying on its power too strongly. Do you feel that belief in a higher power is needed in order to maintain perseverance and hope throughout one's life? Or do you feel it could be a negative thing to have? This is what you were talking about earlier, Dana, the double-edged sword of hope.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And I think this also speaks directly to, like, religion.
Yeah.
Look how many wars have been started over religion. Mm-hmm. But look how many people rely on it to guide their every principle. It's like, is it good or is it bad?
Yeah. I personally was at first relating the sun, like I said, to this belief in a higher power. But I think, you know, in this book, I think the ultimate takeaway is that it was a good thing that Clara had hope because they needed some hope. And so I think in general, I think to live a hopeless life and without that sort of guiding light, I imagine it could be dark.
Yes.
Agreed.
Next up, I love the first half of this book and the concept / perspective from the AF. I didn't find it believable that this supposedly genius AF didn't understand the sun and everyone just sort of went along with her. The happy ending for Josie felt forced to me. Do you think we are meant to believe the sun really did have magical powers? That whole part totally lost me.
I think we are meant to believe that it was the sun.
I don't think it's meant to be one way or the other. Like, it's totally up to us and how we view hope and life and the sun's power.
Yeah.
Like, that's why they left it intentionally vague.
Yeah. I think, ultimately, like, I do believe there was some, like, sun funk happening. And it wasn't just coincidence.
No,
I don't
know there was sun funk.
I don't know to what degree Clara had influence over the sun, but I think there was some sun funk. Magical realism, others might call
and
it.
And the whole book was predicated on science, and this was kind of being like, okay, but no matter how much we learn, how much technology, how much medicine we make, there still is something to just having hope and belief.
Yeah, coincidence. Yeah.
Clara describes from time to time seeing boxes, for example, seeing the mother's face in what appears to be segmented boxes. What do you think this means? These robot-like descriptions were sometimes confusing to me as a reader. They were confusing to me for a while, too.
Me too.
They're still confusing to me. Like, that was the one part of figuring out the new world that I never really fully grasped. I think, like, at points I felt as if it was just Clara was able to see multidimensional emotions in ways that humans can't, because she described, like, in the mother's eyes, in one box was anger, and another was fear, and another was happiness, and she was, like, having this very minutia, nuanced interpretation of human emotions that, like, we're just seeing in a flat line. So maybe that, but I had no idea really exactly how to interpret the boxes.
I didn't even think of it on the deeper level like that she was able to see, like, the layers of emotion. I was just like, oh, she looks out of her eyes, which have grids,
and I think that's true too.
No, but, like, I think it definitely, there was more to it than that. Did anyone else find it odd or frustrating that despite all of Clara's artificial intelligence and abilities, that she still lacked comprehensions of things like pollution, the Cootings machine, another example using terms like oblongs for what must have been phones/computers? We've come to think that an AI would typically possess an incredible amount of knowledge. Why do you think the author portrayed Clara as an AF with so much naivete? That's a good point. I do feel like Clara was very naive, though she was highly intelligent.
Yeah.
I think to also set the boundary that she is still a machine or a robot and, like, not able to adapt the way that humankind can.
And think of really, really book smart humans. Like, a lot of times you're like, wait, they're idiots, even though they, like, got an A+ on every test.
That's what I was thinking. It's like, some people can be, like, smart, like,
yeah,
intellectual, I guess, but, like, are intelligent, but, like, they might not know how the world works.
Yeah, and they might not have that. They might have
smart versus street smart.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
She knows street smart because she's a robot.
No, I think she's
book smart.
She has book smart.
She's book smart.
Yeah, she said she has no street smart.
Yeah.
Okay, exactly.
Like how you're book smart, yes, not street
exactly.
smart. Like
you are Clara.
You are.
You are Clara.
She's probably your same height, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Imagine. All this time. Dana wrote the book. It's about herself.
This is my autobiography.
Okay, next up. How did you picture Clara, especially in relation to Josie and being Josie's AF? Since we were limited to Clara's POV, it was particularly difficult to envision her. So
okay, I have no idea.
I think she looked like Dana now that I'm really thinking about it. Like, I swear.
Yeah, I think that she just, like, had her little short black bob, like, cute little French girl.
So cute.
And then just Dana, the rest.
Yeah.
I pictured, like, a Wall-E, like, a full robot.
I was thinking at the beginning, too, like, the little thing, like a Furbo.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Furby.
Furbo is a dog thing.
Right. Furby's right. Like a little birds. Furby, but then I was like, oh no, she's grown.
No, like that's way too small. Because she's saying Josie's taller than
right,
me now.
Now I'm like, she's grown. I realized. But when she was on the shelf, I was like, she's Elf on the Shelf.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. One word that comes to mind when describing Clara is hopeful. But do you think this quality is something to admire or pity? Does having so much hope make Clara an advanced AF? Or can it be seen as naivete and a limitation of being an AF? It always goes back to hope. I mean, I think if Josie had died, it would have been like, oh, Clara's really pathetic with all of her hopes and dreams. But at the end of the day, she was right, mm-hmm. so...
And she really gave other people hope, which was just as important as her having hope. Like, people wanted to believe anything that they hear. So even though they're like, I don't know, this is a robot telling me if something might happen, I can't say if it's true or not, but, like, I want to put my hope and faith in her. That's what they all did. Rick put his hope in her. He carried her. The dad put his hope on her. He helped her destroy the machine. Like, no one knew what she was talking about, but they were so obsessed with the hope that came along with it that they complied.
Yeah, I agree. So last question, were you satisfied by the ending? This reader was left wanting more.
I think we all were.
Well, no.
We were not. I was not either. But it wasn't so much the ending. I would say like the end I was fine with. It was like the lead up to the end that I wasn't. And all the stuff about like Josie and and her illness. Like honestly, I thought the book probably would have been more compelling if she died. No offense.
Yeah. The end really didn't bother me, but what did bother me was just unanswered questions.
Yeah, I agree. But this author, like, literally didn't care. He was like, I wrote it, deal with it, yeah. Think about it. I'm not explaining it.
I just don't agree. I don't agree with that method. I don't.
Well, you know, he's like a Nobel laureate, like Nobel Peace Prize winner, like 8 books, all different genres. Each one, like, breaks the internet louder than the next. So
and this is what he writes.
And this is it. Yeah, so like...
They're all as simple as this. That's why you have to force
yourself... You have to force yourself to be like, there's more that I'm not seeing. I'm going to get to it.
Oh, no. I'm not that kind of girl.
Okay.
This book sucked.
Okay, so now it's time for the moral of the story. What does everyone think it is?
I put the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Like, that's sweet.
As our society advances and we get more technology, like all the same themes are still there.
Mm-hmm.
Love, mortality, friendship.
Oh, that's lovely.
I like that.
Thank
Me
you.
Me too. Plus one to...
Yeah, usually I figure out my moral while we're recapping the book, but I don't have
I don't
anything.
Have one. I was going to say life you is short, but she didn't die.
Yeah. I guess you win by default. No one else had one.
Love doesn't conquer all in this case.
Yeah.
True.
Clara's love for her might have conquered all.
Clara. Moral of the story is Clara's a queen.
What about keep the faith, Miley Cyrus?
Yeah.
Stay hopeful. Hope is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Hope is a dangerous thing.
There's always going to be another mountain.
And you're always going to want to make it move counts.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, now it's time for the Hollywood treatment. I do think that this could be an episode of Black Mirror, but I really like couldn't envision or care about like who would play who. But for the sake of this episode of The Redheads, let's get into it. Who did you have as Josie? I have Dana Holdsworth.
I thought Clara.
She's playing both. Okay. Because Clara Avengers is
a continuation.
Going,
a one-woman show.
It's a one-woman show. Dana plays everyone. And I have Dana.
That would be interesting.
And I have Dana as Rick. Oh, my God. Now that's something I want to see.
Is everyone okay?
Dana is Rick.
Oh my God, when I post to the Instagram like of our casting choices, it's gonna be Dana's Josie, Dana's Clara, Dana's Rick.
Dana's mother, Dana's father,
Dana's Melania housekeeper.
Oh my God. Dana is like the evil doctor.
Dana is Mr. Capaldi.
And Dana as manager.
Dana as Vance.
Snitch is like, who are these characters?
Like, okay.
Snitch is like, how did I get here?
Dana as half-built
What?
As half-built Josie.
Dana suspended from the ceiling in Mr. Capaldi's studio. Tina as Rosa.
Things didn't work out so well for Rosa.
I'm in pain.
Oh my God. bad.
Wow.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Okay.
My stomach.
Dana, who did you have?
I had Millie Bobby Brown as Josie.
Okay.
And Finn Wolfhard as Rick, who's that guy Mike from Stranger Things. I was on a Stranger Things kick.
Okay, oh, cool. That tracks. Rebecca?
I had Elle Fanning or Dakota Fanning. I felt like in different phases of Josie's life, she could be one or the other.
Really yeah. good.
And Rick, I had... I'm sorry. I had Thomas Brody Sangster, who is Sam from Love Actually, the little boy.
Oh, cute.
He was, like, in the band.
Yeah.
And he was also in Game of Thrones. That was, like, when...
Yes,
I think
yes.
he's a little old now, but there was a time where I felt like he was very Ricky.
He was in something else recently, too. What's yeah. his name?
His name is...
Thomas Brody Sangster.
Yes.
He was in some... He was weird. He was a weird guy. I just need to get this off my... the tip of my tongue.
Yeah. I read through his accreditation.
He was in Queen's Gambit.
Oh, yes, you're right. You're
yeah,
right.
yeah, that's... Okay, thank you. That's felt,
exactly
that
it.
That felt so good. Okay, Snitch, who did you cast?
Dana.
Good. Okay, so Dana, you got the part.
Perfect.
Okay.
When can I start?
Guys, when the sun goes down.
Now it is time for our overall rating of this book so we can...
Wait, I didn't say who I had for Ricky.
Oh.
Oh, because that was the only person I really was imagining the whole time. Joshua Bassett.
That's really good.
That's a good one.
Is he British?
Maybe. No, he's the like Olivia Rodrigo ex.
Sabrina Carpenter triangle.
Got it. I just like Ricky's...
Oh, now we're keeping to logistics.
Right.
But Dana.
Dana's not English, though.
Dana, you still get the part.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Let's do our overall rating so we can put this book behind us so that you guys can stop feeling like so triggered over it. Dana, you go first. It was a Dana's choice. What did you rate this book?
4.5.
Oh, wow. God. Give me a break.
Wow. Becky?
2.5.
Oh, I was going to say 2.
Wow. I'm giving it a 4.
I have to lower the ratio. I'm giving it a 2.
Was that 2? Was that what you were going to give it before I gave mine?
Yes.
Okay.
Honestly, like, there is a conspiracy, and I'd like to understand the rationale behind it. Who's paying you? Mr. Ishiguro.
My ratings, like, all of my ratings are born of, I write them right after I read them. Did I enjoy my time with the book? Did I like keep picking it up? Did I like the way that it was written? Was it going places? Was it easy to read? Like, I felt all those things.
Miss 4.5.
When it started out.
I loved this book. I really can't stop thinking about it. Like, I was going to sleep last night thinking about it. To me, that's when I like a book. Do I think about it after I put it down?
Yeah. So our overall Redhead's rating for Clara and the Sun is a 3.25.
I think that is
robbed.
Valid.
I think that's really about. Fucking blasphemous, honestly, you guys.
Robbed.
I think that's a little high. High.
2.9 I could have dealt with.
Okay, well, the good news is it's over. We never need to talk about it again.
We had some good talking points.
I really look forward to hearing what the Redheads thought Same. About the book and this episode and who you agree with. So please make sure to comment on our Instagram or start a discussion on the Redheads Facebook page because I need to know where you guys stand. Are you a Dana, a Becky, a Jackie, or a Snitch? Now... For the fun part, other books we read this month, always a blast. We had a while in between episodes, so I read a ton of books personally. Who wants to go first?
You, Snitch.
I don't think I read anything.
Oh, okay, wow. You've been really booked and busy. Like, your Instagram pops off at 4 a.m. every single day, and it's just, you're out of control. So.
Oh, that's true, but not for fun things. I'm working out.
No, of course. That's what I mean. So, like, you're just, like, busy focusing on other areas of your self-care. And
that's true.
We have no choice but to respect it.
I'm trying to fill my cup.
Yeah. So you're like, you're doing other things. Mm-hmm. That's totally fine. Bex?
I read These Tangled Vines by Julianne McLean. It was just on my Kindle. So I was like, oh, I'll take it for a spin. It was good. It was like a nice beach read. It was kind of like romantic and like no major drama, which was kind of perfect. I would rate it a 3 out of 5.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Dana?
I didn't read that much this month, considering how long of a month it was, but I did read finally at Snitch, The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo
by
Taylor Jenkins Reid. I actually, it was my favorite one of all of her books. I loved it. I gave it a 4.1. Then I read Wayward by Dana Spiata. I hated it. I don't recommend it. No one read it. I gave it a 2.0.
Then I'll probably love it.
Survive the Night by Riley Sager. This was an awesome book. I gave it a 4.2. It is like a thriller mystery, so keep that in mind if you start it. Like, you will not put it down. It was very, very good. And last, a Jackie's recommendation, I read The Portrait of a Mirror by A. Natasha Joukovsky. I rated it a 4.7. This was truly an unbelievable book in a very real way. Like, I wouldn't pick it up if you're looking for a beach read, because it's the exact opposite of that. It is dense. You, like, need a dictionary. Like, it is...
You should need to read on a Kindle so you can look up words that you don't understand.
But it was a masterpiece.
It was really a masterpiece. I was recommended it by our friend Kristen's fiancé, Pete. And he said it's really dense, but and I'll give you guys like the overall premise, because it's like such dense writing for such light subject matter.
Yes.
It's pretty much about two couples. They're both like, you know, fabulous and stunning and whatever. And the husband and wife from each couple are like sort of engaged in affairs a little bit, like not in exactly affairs, but they're like either energy. Working together or they met through a mutual friend. And it's just like about the emotional mechanics of just people. It's so
psychological.
Good. It's so psychological. It really just is like she was texting me like her thoughts on the book, like, and they were so apt. It just like really captures like the human experience. And there were so many like just throwaway sentences that just are like, no, that's fucking perfect.
Yes.
Like, that is.
Ooh, I want to read that.
It's really good.
I think you would really like it, because I'm not someone who can get through like really dense stuff like Dana can. And I was okay.
Did it capture you from start to finish?
Yes, because the characters are like fabulous New York. Like, it has that sort of like easy pull. The plot is easy. Yeah. It's the writing that makes it like deep.
It's so impressive, because like truly the plot is like two couples and they like each other and like you think it's a baby book. And then you're like, wait, this writing is like deserving of a Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
It was really like a masterpiece.
Yeah.
So, okay, I will share what I read this month. I started with The Lion's Den by Catherine St. John. I loved it. I gave it a 5 because it's just like a perfect beach read, really. It's like about, you know, a girl. She's going on her friend's fabulous yacht birthday weekend with her older shady boyfriend, and there's like a lot of shadiness, and it turns into like a little bit of like a mystery thriller. It was a little long, but if you're looking for a beach read, I would say yes to that, The Lion's Den. Then I read It Ends With Us by Colleen Hoover, because Claudia told me to read it.
Oh, what
and
do you think?
I hadn't read it, and now I see it's like viral everywhere. Yeah, Kylie Jenner is reading it right now.
Oh my God.
And
but by the way, like, I read that book when I went to Israel for the summer. It's fucking old.
Yeah, you're so cool, counselor. And we're so just like, saying. We don't know anything. No, but it is having a moment right now. Like, Colleen Hoover posted this whole long thing on her Instagram saying, like, I don't know what happened or like why this keeps happening like with my old books, but I'm just so grateful. Like, it's having this whole resurgence.
Book
so,
TikTok is talking
book
about
talk,
it.
Yeah.
So I really liked it. I gave it a 5. It was like an easy Colleen Hoover read, but very deep and dark, and mm-hmm. gave you a lot to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Then I read People We Meet on Vacation by Emily Henry.
Everyone's talking about that.
She also wrote the book Beach Read that was popular last year,
I love
which
that.
I had low expectations for, but I actually really liked. This book, I did not like at all. I was just waiting for it to end. I found it to be so dumb, and the title did not match the book at all. Like, it was really, really frustrating. I gave it a 3, which I feel was generous, but I did finish it, so that's a decent sign.
Yeah.
Then I was feeling curious about the Titanic.
So of course, goes from
as
Emily
one
Henry.
Does.
So I read The Ship of Dreams, The Sinking of the Titanic, and The End of the Edwardian Era by Gareth Russell, just to get some more interesting factoids about the Titanic, which I got. But at the end of the day, I do think that you could just watch a movie. You know, I like, there's, the Titanic is such an interesting, fascinating story, but at the end of the day, like, it's pretty limited. Like, those were the people who were on it. This is what happened. It was like 5 days and sunk within a few hours. Like, there's not that much more there.
I heard they hit an iceberg.
Right. They hit an iceberg. So I gave that 3 stars. And then I read The Portrait of a Mirror, and I gave that 5 stars. So it was actually a pretty good month for me. 3 5-star books. I'm really generous with my ratings.
Yeah, we can tell.
Yeah, as evidenced by.
Listen, fucking Snatcher. Listen to you.
What about Brit over there, too? She's on my side.
Yeah, but you are supposed to counsel.
It's about that? Counselors and Camper Snitch. This was really your biography.
I agree. I was thinking about you the whole time. I was like, I'm so excited for a counselor to start reading it, because then she'll be like, oh my God, it's AC. Instead, you were like, hey,
I literally texted her. I was like, am I
reading
her
book? It's FC. She was the French camper.
Yeah. Oh, she was French camper for sure. Okay, so that's that on that. And now it is time to hear what we're reading next month. We have a Snitch's Choice, which is always the perfect fold from a Dana's Choice.
But, like, honestly, my choice is a little different.
Your choice is a little Dana-y.
Yeah. Mm. It is called We Are the Brennans by Tracy Lange. And it's about some family drama.
It's in the description, they compared it to two books, and one of them was Ask Again Yes by Mary Beth King that me, Dana, and Rebecca all read, and we all loved.
Loved.
It's not super snitchy, that book, but it was really good. So I
And it literally came out 7 days ago.
I love when the redheads are current and on top of things. Like, we're just so fabulous.
Fantastic.
Cool. Well, thank you guys so much for another wonderful episode of the Redheads Book Club. Always great catching up. Maybe the next one will be harmonious. Maybe not. But you can always expect a diverse array of opinions here at the Redheads. And we'd love to see it.
You certainly can.
So we will see you on the next one, the first Thursday in September, barring I don't cancel everyone's plans again. And thank you for keeping up with us. Make sure to follow us at the Redheads. Join our Facebook group. And let's get chatting about books. And also, always hit us with recommendations. I feel like all of us have gotten such good recommendations from Redheads. You know, comment on the Instagram, tag us. We pretty much see all of it. So hit us up. Bye.
Bye. Bye.